wise is the man, wise is the woman that takes counsel, you know, like it says there in Isaiah, take counsel not of men, but of God.
Pastor Breadmatter says when seeking advice, there's safety in scriptural counsel.
You and I, we both have this tool sitting here, and when we look for counsel, man, the wise man, the wise woman delights in the word of God, his testimonies, as his counselors. Before you go get counsel of men, make sure and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
It's in the longest chapter of the Bible, Psalm 119, that celebrates the beauty, power, and guidance of God's word. It invites believers to treasure Scripture, embrace its wisdom, and live in its precepts. On today's Word, Pastor Breadmatter notes the psalmist revealing a deep longing for God's truth, inspiring us to cultivate unwavering devotion to His Word.
Turn to Psalm 119. The shortest chapter in the Bible is Psalm 117. The longest chapter in the Bible is Psalm 119. And as it turns out, the middle chapter of the Bible is Psalm 117. But the middle verse of the Bible, if you count up all the verses, which I didn't really have time to do, I just read this somewhere. but if you count all the verses, the very center verse in all the Bible is kind of amazing because the center chapter is Psalm 117. The center verse is Psalm 118, verse 8, where it says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. So it's kind of interesting, you know, the center of things kind of here, just numerically. Now, by the way, it wasn't until like I think it was around the 1500s when they added chapters and verses to the scriptures. And I'm thankful they did because it'd sure be hard to say, turn in your Bibles. And you say, where? Just turn in your Bible. Good luck finding where we are. The verses and chapters are really helpful. But Psalm 119 being the longest chapter in the Bible, what is that chapter about? That's the fun part of this lesson. To me, it's an exclamation point on something. And by the way, this was sort of divided out of the scriptures, even before the chapters and verses, with Hebrew letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Many of your Bibles, if you look at this Psalm 119, you know, it starts out with Aleph and then Bet, and it goes on down the alphabet. And that was there, you know, in the earliest of texts. It was part of the writing of this psalm. So it is sort of a chapter that stands out, divided out from the very beginning. And what is this long chapter about? Well, every single verse, with only a couple of exceptions in this long chapter, which is kind of amazing because, you know, when you count up the verses, it's 176 verses. Only like two of them are missing the topic of the chapter. In other words, every single verse, except for two, have a word that is a connotation or denotation of the topic of this chapter. And the topic is the word of God. God's word. Is that important? Man, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word, chapter 1 of John, verse 14 says, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Man, Jesus Christ is the living, incarnate word. The word is so important. The word is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Man, it's all about the scriptures. It's about biblical life. It's about biblical worldview. Man, the word, it's so important. I love the context of scripture. I love going right through book by book, chapter by chapter, and I find our time here is really rich because of his word. It's just such a blessing to be able to go through the scriptures. I was driving down the road one day and I was listening to a preacher, and it was great because it was one of these super high energy, kind of an African-American church, you know, and the pastor was up there and it kind of cracked me up because you could barely understand what he was saying at first. He just sort of mumbled these little words and he's kind of walking across the stage and, you know, you could hear it in the congregation and stuff. And he just said something like, I'm like, what? What did he say? He says, we gotta be biblical. That's what he said. You gotta be, and you can barely understand. What did he say? Biblical. And I thought he said biblical. I wasn't sure. But then he kept going and he kind of raised his voice a little, biblical. And then you could hear the organ, you know, it's like, oh, this is great, you know. And, you know, the sermon, as I was driving for a long time on the road, I was just listening to the sermon. I don't remember one other word in the sermon. Maybe it's the only word he used. I don't know. But biblical was the word of the hour. And man, it kind of went from to biblical to biblical. And then pretty soon, we got to be biblical. Like about halfway through, it was like, woo. It's like, and then the organ, and people, yeah, glory, you know. I was like, this is great. By the end of the sermon, man, the place was just lit up. People were swinging from the chandeliers. And he's just like, biblical. It's like, yeah, amen. It was like, oh, man, one of the best sermons I've ever heard. Because he's right. He's totally right. The biblical worldview, the biblical life, the Christian that models everything they believe and know and think about after the Bible, man, that's where it's at. Our world pushes against that on every level, on every angle, anti-biblical, against the Bible. But man, the person who's biblical, a biblical worldview, a biblical being, that's where you're going to find great blessing. What kind of blessing? Well, that's where our chapter comes into play, Psalm 119. Because it's all about the Bible. Now, in the Old Testament Hebrew Bible that we're studying, there's different words that you'll find that describe God's word. You'll find the word, the word of God, you'll find it there. You also find the word, the law of the Lord. Remember, to the Jew, the law of the Lord, that was the word of God that they had in their hands. You know, the scrolls was the Torah and the law. You know, that's what they called it, the law. So that's a sort of a synonym with the word biblical, the word, the law. But not only the law, the statutes, the commandments, the judgments, the precepts. There's words like that throughout Psalm 119 that are talking about the same thing, but each one of those descriptions of the word sort of describe a little bit about the word from a different angle. But I wanted to draw your attention to the benefits, the blessing of the Christian who chooses to live with a biblical life, a biblical worldview, letting the word of God be the standard. And I want to give you 12 reasons, 12 points quickly, 12 things that when you live a biblical life, have a biblical worldview, here's what the Bible tells you you get out of that deal. Number one, jot it down, happiness. And it starts in Psalm 119, verse 1. It says there, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. The word blessed, and verse 2 also, blessed are they that keep his testimonies. That's the word for word there, testimonies. So you got the law, verse 1, testimonies, verse 2. And what happens to those people? Blessed and bless, or blessed and blessed. What's that? Well, the word blessed is just an old word that means happy. Happy are the people who are walking in the word, the law of the Lord, who keep his testimonies. Being a biblical person, the Bible promises of itself that you will live a happy life if you are in the word. Now, by the way, the Bible doesn't promise that your life is going to be perfect. There are promises in God's word that does say, if you do this, then you'll be blessed. But blessed can mean different things. Doesn't mean you're going to be a billionaire and live in a huge mansion and everything's going to be rosy and perfect in your life. And also, the question is, when will God bless you? It could be now, it could be 3 weeks, it could be 10 years, it can be an eternity in heaven. But the Lord, he never will go wrong on his promises. So the question oftentimes becomes when. But those who keep the commandments of the Lord, according to, you know, Psalm 119, 1 and 2, they'll be blessed or happy. And I think that's an important thing. You can either have a little pleasure right now and have a little bit of happiness, but often with that goes a lifetime of pain. You know, if you live in a sinful lifestyle, you know, there's pleasure in sin for a season. So this is something about the holiness of living by the word of God you need to understand. You can either have a little pleasure now and a lifetime of pain, or you can have a little pain now and a lifetime, even an eternal lifetime of pleasure. That's kind of what the Bible's talking about. When we do what the word says, sometimes that's not easy. Sometimes that's painful to be obedient to God's word. But the Lord says you'll ultimately end up happy. Happiness, number one. Number two, what happens to the person that's biblical, that lives by the word of God? Number two, cleansing. There's a washing, a cleansing. Look at Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. In Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11, it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Operative words for word. How shall a young man cleanse? By taking heed to thy word. Verse 10, thy commandments. Verse 11, thy word. And what is it? Man, there's a young man cleansing his way by the word. And what should he do? Hide the word in his heart, that he might not sin against the Lord. Let's jump forward to a verse. I'll do this from time to time. Look at verse 140. There in 140, speaking of cleansing that the word does. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loves it. I love that the word of God is pure, very pure. There's a purity that comes with the reading of, the living out, the biblical worldview. I love that. There's an Old Testament story that reminds us of that, and it's a fun one. If you recall, the children of Israel were under the great oppression of an enemy people, and the king of that people's name was Eglon. And the Bible says this, that Eglon was a very fat man. And he was just big. He was like the hugest guy maybe in the world's history. I mean, he was just giant. And so Ehud, this Jewish guy, comes and, you know, if you remember, he's a left-handed guy. And in Bible times, that wasn't cool. Being left-handed was uncool. But it came in handy for Ehud because normally a guy would put a sword on his left side and with his right hand draw the sword. But Ehud had it different. He put the sword on the other side, hid it. And so when they sort of frisked him, they probably didn't know where the sword was, but he had a sword on him. And he said, "I have a present for the king." And there's big fat Eglon. "Eglon, a present for me." And like Jabba the Hutt, you know. And so Eglon sitting there, they let him in and sends out all the servants. And so it's just Ehud and Eglon. And the story's kind of radical. Ehud draws his sword out and he sticks it in Eglon, and the Bible says that the sword went in and it just disappeared. Lost the sword. And does anybody remember what came out of his belly? Dirt, huh? Yeah, dirt. That's what it says in the King Jimmy. The sword went in and the dirt went out. There's a beautiful Bible picture for you. What is the word of God? The sword of the Spirit. It's always, whenever you read about swords in the Old Testament, there's often a link to a picture of the word of God. And so the word of God destroys the enemies of God, which is a picture there in that story. But also the sword goes in and the dirt comes out. There's kind of a lesson there, isn't there? That's kind of an important part of the word of God. It's got a cleansing effect. The Bible calls the word of God water. It's typified by the sword, but it's also typified by water. The water of the word, like in Ephesians chapter 5, Jesus Christ loves his church so much that he washes it in the water of the word. And that's something that you should never forget that the word of God does. There's a cleansing effect of the water. It's been said that people say, "Well, I try to do my morning devotions and when I read the Bible, Pastor Brett, it goes through me like a sieve." And it's been said that at least if you read the water of the word, you'll have at least a clean sieve. If it goes through your brain and you don't understand anything, the water's flowing through your brain. That's a good thing. The washing by the water of the Lord. Jesus said, "Now you are clean," John 15, "by the word that I have spoken unto you." And so here in Psalm 119, happiness and cleansing. These are the first two things that we see here about the word of God. Number three, counsel. Does anybody need some good advice? Where do you find good advice? Well, that's hard to find nowadays. Good advice. Your friends are well-meaning, but do they always give you good counsel? Do your people at work give you good advice? Does your counselor or psychologist or psychiatrist, do they give you good advice? Well, I think wise is the man, wise is the woman that takes counsel, you know, like it says there in Isaiah 30, that take counsel not of men, but of God. Now, you can get counsel of men as long as it's godly counsel. Right? That's the key. Find people that are biblical that give counsel. The Bible says there's safety in a multitude of counselors there. But if you're getting a worldly kind of counsel, that's bad. You need the Bible, biblical. That's what you need to be biblical in your counsel. Check it out, jot it down. It's Psalm 119, verse 24. There it says, "Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." The word for word here is testimonies. And what does the testimony of God do? It gives you counsel. There's counsel right here in the Word of God. And I have to confess that sometimes I'm a little surprised that old-time Christians that are confused about life or what they should do, and I ask, well, have you been in the Scriptures? Oh, no, I haven't really been reading the Bible, but I'm here to ask you, Pastor Brett, what I should do. And I think, man, what a sorry exchange. Me for the Word of God? Yeah, you don't want that, because I'll misguide you every time. Except if I happen to use the Word, that's where I find my best counsel comes from, when I just say, well, this is what the Bible says. I always kind of measure a good pastor when they say, well, the Bible says, because that's the only thing that matters. My opinion doesn't matter. But what's interesting is you and I, we both have this tool sitting here, and when we look for counsel, man, the wise man, the wise woman delights in the Word of God, his testimonies, as his counselors. Before you go get counsel of men, make sure and first seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I think you do that by just being in the Word. Look for Scripture that'll give you a nudge one way or the other in decisions that you're making. There's safety in Scripture and counsel. I'm reminded of that old study Hans Eisenach did. I know counselors don't like this, but it is kind of funny. A study found that if you have emotional problems, the probability that you will be well in 1 year, if you go to see a psychoanalyst, you'll be the 44% likely to improve. If you see a psychotherapist, you are 53% likely to improve. If you see a psychiatrist, you're 61% likely to improve. But if the study found if you go see no one at all, you're 73% likely to improve. 73%. Now, don't get me wrong, there's blessing and safety and counsel. And I think there is a time and a place for good counsel and going to see a counselor. But again, I would say find a counselor who knows the Scripture. That's the key. Don't get godless, worldly, Freudian counsel. Freud is a fraud, by the way. Study his work. It's true. I've studied Sigmund Freud, and he was a fraud. Largely, some of the stuff he said and concluded were false. And we still base a lot of our psychology on Freud, the fraud. Go with the Lord and his Word. Find a counselor. If you're needing a counselor, find someone who's going to give you biblical advice. Well, number four on the list. So you got happiness, cleansing, counsel. Number four, strength. Look at Psalm 119, verse 28. It says, "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word." According unto thy word. Man, what happens? Your soul might be melting. Do you feel like your soul, your mind, your emotions, your psyche is weak, fragile? Man, a lot of us feel that. A lot of us go through that. But here's the thing. When your soul is melting, where do you find strength? Man, it says, "Strengthen thou me according to thy word." And the word will build you up with strength. There's a strengthening. You know, you show me a person who's solid in reading the word daily, I'll show you a person that's strong. Reminds me of a story told. An old fellow had been in the North Woods for weeks by himself, camping out. Each night at dusk, he'd build a campfire, boiled water, coffee, and took out a skillet to cook up some bacon. But one night as he was just doing his normal routine, this heard a rustling in the bush. And it was just suddenly kind of a roaring sound. All of a sudden, he couldn't believe what he saw. This tremendous racket. What was it? The sound was like a roaring freight train as the trees fell over and branches snapped. The biggest bear he'd ever seen lumbered into his camp. On the bear's back was a tough-looking hombre holding a 7-foot live rattlesnake in his hands. The man shouted and screamed as he brought the bear to a skidding halt, bit the head off the rattlesnake, flung it into the brush, slid off the bear's back, turned and hit him between the eyes, knocking the bear unconscious. The camper was speechless at the wild-eyed renegade and walked over to the fire, tossed the boiling coffee down his throat, drank the hot grease from the skillet, and ate all the bacon with one bite as he wiped his hands with poison ivy. He slapped the bear back to consciousness. And he turned to the camper and said, "Partner, I'm sorry I can't stay around and visit for a while, but I've got to keep moving because a real bad dude is chasing me." Ooh, what's the real bad dude look like? That story is one that kind of illustrates, I wonder, toughness, mental toughness. You show me a person who is really grounded in the word, I'll show you a person who's just spiritually tough. There's just a toughness that comes to that person. The further away you get from the word, I can't promise that you have a great foundation and that you're going to be strong. But we need that kind of strength in the days that we live. We need some real bad dudes spiritually that are strong in the word of God. Number five, freedom. Does anybody like freedom? Freedom, Psalm 119, verse 45. It says, "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." Again, Psalm 119, verse 45. "I will walk at liberty, for I will seek thy precepts." The word precepts is the word for word there. What happens to the person that seeks the word, the precepts of the Lord? You walk at liberty, freedom there. The Hebrew is at large. You get to go where you want to go because you're grounded, rooted in the word of God. I love that, the freedom that comes from being in the word. By the way, I think that it echoes back to that, the idea of boundaries. Boundaries seem like a bummer to some people, but boundaries can be a blessing if you know what the point is. Does anybody remember that psychological study that's talked about where the psychologist came and looked at the playground in an inner city school, and they had this, you know, couple acre playground, and it was a big chain link fence around it, and the kids were out playing. But the psychologist said, we need to get rid of this chain link. It's too prison-like. The kids feel, you know, like they're in prison. Let's get rid of that and let them be more free. So they took the fence out. And as the story goes, the kids the next day, instead of playing on every square inch, they all were huddled in the middle of the field and just not even playing at all. What they found was the chain link fence provided a barrier that let them feel freer to have fun. And they used every square inch of that boundary. But once the boundary was gone, see, that's the person that doesn't have the boundary of the word of God around them. Make sure that you let the word of God be a good boundary. And you know, sometimes the word of God comes in the written word, but also in the rhema word, where he kind of puts his word on the table of your hearts. True liberty comes, I think, when we have the boundaries of the word of God. Be careful on that one. Make sure you let the word be your perimeter around your life.
Pastor Brett Menner, pausing in a list of 12 blessings found in Psalm 119 that are promised the believer committed to living by the precepts given in the Word. And you're listening to Today's Word. And I invite you to stick around as Pastor Brett will join me in just a moment. Brett Menner is the senior pastor of Athey Creek Church, just south of Portland, Oregon. We'd like to invite you to listen again for more of the study of God's Word. If you've missed any portion of this message, you can find all of these studies online at todayswordradio.com. You can also make a comment or share a prayer request by going to todayswordradio.com. All right, Pastor Brett is joining me now. Brett, in the past several years as pastor of Athey Creek Church, you've seen tremendous growth at your main campus, so much so that you've been looking to expand into more places in the Portland, Oregon area. Isn't that right?
That's correct. We've been praying about that. And then, you know, the Lord just gave us a green light through prayer and seeking him. And then as soon as we got that clear message, then the Lord just really brought to our doorstep two locations right out of the gate where we were able to open two campuses. One's in Hillsboro and the other's in McMinnville. And we're also, the Lord's leading us to perhaps open some other campuses as well. So we're just praying about what the Lord wants us to do. And so far, he's been way ahead of us on provision and also locations. We're really excited about what he's doing.
Yeah, we are. And I do want to mention that Athey Creek Hillsboro met just last weekend. And this coming Sunday, June 8th, Athey Creek will launch its McMinnville location. Just go to todayswordradio.com and click on the link Locations for more information. Again, todayswordradio.com and click the link Locations. Well, that's all the time we have. I invite you back when Pastor Brett continues this encouragement series.
Our culture has lost our bearing, but as long as we have our own little harebrained ideas about what's right or wrong, we're going to be off course. Man, if we just get back to the Word, then we have that moral compass once again. When your life is, you know, all we like sheep have gone astray mode, and you're off course in your life, don't you love that the way you get back on is you go back to the Word? Keep the Word of God. That's where you get back on track.
Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter is an outreach of Athey Creek Church in West Lynn, Oregon.